Tonight we're talking about being set apart. Okay? I think it was about 3 years ago, I believe, we bought a book with this title, and we all read it as a church and learned from it and talked about it. And I want to look at it again tonight, but coming at the same topic from a different angle. Set apart. Whose idea was it? Where did this come from? Believe it or not, it started with the promise to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, the Bible says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" That's where everything started. Are you with me? You and I are set apart today because back in the beginning, God made a promise to Abraham. At that time, his name was Abram. Okay? And I want you to notice in this passage, like we've talked about so many times, God said he wanted him to leave his country, his people, and his father's household, and to go to the land he was going to show him. From the story, we know that the Bible says Abraham obeyed and went, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He did not even know where he was going when God told him to move. You and I today, when you're moving somewhere, when you're moving houses, you know where you're going to. You know, when you rent a U-Haul or Penske van or something, or you ask a bunch of people to show up with their, you know, trucks, and you load your stuff onto it, they ask you one question: where are we heading? Where is this stuff supposed to be going? And you tell them. Are you with me? Can you imagine if, you know, people show up to help you move, and they say, "Now, where are we going?" You say, "Well, I don't know. Somewhere in Lawrenceville. Somewhere in Lilburn." You know, people are not going to be too fired up. They're going to say, "Wait a second. We need an address." Are you with me? But that's what God did here. And Abraham obeyed, and he went. This is not part of the lesson, but I'll go ahead and mention it. God makes him several promises in here. He says, "I will make you into a great nation." Did God fulfill that promise?
Yes.
He says, "I will bless you." Did God bless him?
Yes.
He says, "I will make your name great." How about that one? Absolutely. We're still talking about Abraham. Some of us, we name our kids after Abraham. As a matter of fact, he's my most favorite character in the Old Testament. I love Abraham. I can study this for 6 months, and I still will not get to the bottom of it. He says, "I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing." He says, "I will bless those who bless you." Did God fulfill that promise? Absolutely. He says, "And whoever curses you, I will curse." Did God do that? Absolutely. And then this is the part that pertains to us. He says, "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Amen?
Amen.
You can say amen to that. Because it was because of that promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 that you and I are sitting here today, set apart in God's kingdom.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
And the point is, God always keeps his promises.
Amen.
And that ought to make us feel good. Because when God says something in his word, that word, like we just memorized, is not going to return to him empty. But it will go out and accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. Are you with me? Amen? God always keeps his word. Now, another scripture is in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Now," this is Moses talking to the Israelites, "if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." Amen?
Amen?
Again, remember, God made the promise back in Genesis 12 to Abraham. Abraham became the father of Isaac. Isaac became the father of Jacob. Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. Reuben, Gad, Issachar, all those guys. All right? Simeon. There are 12 of them. All right? And they formed the Jewish nation. Later on, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Are you with me? And in this passage, it tells us that, you know what? out of all the nations in the world, I will make you my treasured possession. He says, you're going to become to me a kingdom of priests. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, the Bible describes us as a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Whether you like it or not, you're a priest. Not in the sense that people use it today, but you're a priest in God's kingdom. That's what we are. That's what we form. That's what we represent, a kingdom of priests. Just like the Israelites were back in the Old Testament. Are you with me? As Christians today, we're priests also. We're a holy nation. God set us apart for a reason. Amen? But it all goes back to that promise God made to Abraham. Now look in Romans chapter 1. In verses 6 and 7. And it says, and you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the start of the letter of Paul to the church in Rome. Notice what it says. It says, to you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. It says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Amen? This is St. Alan, right here, up front, on the front row. This is St. Stephen. St. Anne. St. Anthony. St. Bill. I don't think St. Grub counts. St. Gary. Okay. You guys understand what I'm saying? Yeah. The Bible says we're called to be saints. I know in the Catholic Church, you know, they do this a very different way. You know, they go through all their processes and all this stuff, and, you know, years later after you're gone, they say, then they make you a saint. That ain't what the Bible teaches. Okay? We are all saints. Saint Richard is talking to you tonight. Amen? I mean, this is a great conversation starter. I know we get emails every day, even at work and whatever. You know, write something and sign it, saint, to your name. I promise you, you will get a conversation started. The next letter you write or you stand up somebody in your office, sign it, saint so-and-so. Okay? You will get a conversation started. Amen? Because that's what the Bible calls you. That's who we are. Okay? Now, what is a saint? What is a saint? Here are some definitions. One who is set apart, consecrated, holy one. That's one definition. Here's another one. A Christian, belonging exclusively to God. Okay? Another definition. People called out of the world to be God's own people. And another definition. Used of people who are devoted to God. Hago in Greek means to be sanctified. Again, holy ones. All right? Sainthood is not something we attain. It is a state of which God in His grace calls us. Are you with me? There's nothing you and I can do to attain sainthood. Again, the Catholic Church, this is based on your good works on this earth. Okay? It's got nothing to do with that. You and I are called by grace. We're called into this state of being saints. Not because of anything we've done, but because of His grace. Are you with me? Okay? See, sainthood, again, is not something we attain. It is a state in which God, in His grace, calls us. Amen, church? Now, I'm going to give you some other scriptural references. First Corinthians 1:2. Just write these down. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Ephesians 1, verse 1 and verse 15. Philippians 1, verse 1. Colossians 1, verse 2 and verse 4. And Philemon verses 4 to 7. You're going to see this word being used, being addressed to Christians throughout Paul's letters. Are you with me?